Let's start in Romans chapter 11. What do you say? Amen. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. That indicates to us that all Jews that want to can be saved today if they will. Amen. They can be saved. Paul was a Jew. All the apostles were Jews. Amen. All the writers of this Bible were Jews. And they all got saved. Jews can get saved if they want to. And what a wonderful day it is for them if they'll get in. Amen. Israel has been blessed. One of the reasons they've been blessed so good in these last days is because they're supported by the good old United States of America, which has a Christian foundation. Amen. And they're trying at a breakneck speed to Americanize Israel as fast as they can. I mean, they've got new thoroughfares around Jerusalem. I mean, four-lane roads around the Mount of Olives. You don't go over Scopus anymore. You go around it. Amen. And it's easier for me to get lost. Things are really changing in Palestine. Amen. And they're Americanizing the place, much to the chagrin of folks who'd like to see things stay a whole lot like they were. They filled it with houses. They filled it with apartments. They filled it with high rises. They filled it with shopping malls. And amen. And they're Americanizing it just as fast as they can. I said all that to say this. The Jews have been blessed by the support of the United States of America. Amen. That's not the only reason they've been blessed in Israel. Another reason they've been blessed is because it's time for it. It's late, folks. Amen. And it's time for them to be blessed. Praise God. I say then, if God cast away his people, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul knew what tribe he belonged to. And, amen, Israelites, most all of them know what tribe they belong to. And those that don't are going to find out. Amen. This false teaching, you know, British Israel, so-called doctrine, Herbert Armstrong and his son Garner Ted, you know, are the chief progenitors of that occultic teaching. Amen. It's not necessarily new, but they teach the British Israel doctrine real strongly. It's a lie. And secondarily, it's not necessary. It's not necessary to be a member of a tribe of Benjamin or Issachar or Dan or Ephraim or Manasseh to be saved or to be blessed. We're in a totally different economy today where everybody can be blessed, and that's what the 11th chapter of Romans teaches. Amen. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not? That's old English for don't you know. Wot means no. Know ye not when the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed my prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto them? I reserve to myself 7,000 men which have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Amen. Now get a load of this. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Hallelujah. There's still a goodly bunch of Jews that's saved. Amen. A lot of them is preaching the gospel. Amen. One of the first evangelists I can remember at Old Union Hill Church was a nearly blind Jew. He had to hold his watch way up here close to his eye to see it. Brother Joseph and his wife, Sister Joseph, They came to Old Union Hill Church way out in the country. Amen. Brother Fred Hatfield and Brother Harold take care of the church out there. And Old Union Hill was witnessing a revival as a little boy. I sat with my legs dangling over the edge of the front seat in Old Union Hill Church at 5 years or six. Amen. And heard Sister Joseph, that Jewish wife of that Jewish preacher, tell about Jesus, the story of little Tom, how that Jesus came into that little boy's heart out on the street. Amen. How did he die in the hospital? But before he did, amen, he led the doctor and the nurses to Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Touched my heart. I wanted to get saved and take Jesus in my heart right then. Amen. And if I'd have done what I should have done, I'd have got saved right then. If I'd have had any help or knew how, amen, I'd have got saved right then. Amen. When I wanted to go to the altar at Field Creek Church and told Mama just a little later on in another one of those revivals, just a little boy, Mama said, see if your daddy will take you. Well, my dad was with a spit and whittle club on the outside most of the time. He didn't hardly come in big lot of time, didn't stay long when he did. My dad take his little boy to the altar? Surely you jest. Oh, if I'd have got saved then. If I'd have got saved then, I might have started preaching when I was 11 like Vance Havner did. Praise God. And what a wonderful thing it would have been to give my whole life to God and the ministry. Amen. But I said all that to tell you that I still remember that almost blind Jewish preacher. Remember his name, Brother Joseph. Well, what about that? Amen. Was he an Ephraimite or a Manassite? His name was Joseph. Well, praise God. Amen. The so-called lost tribes are not necessarily lost. Amen. They're lost in the sense that they don't know Jesus as a whole, but they're still a token group that know God. Even to this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Amen. How does election work in grace? Well, it works like this. Like the black preacher said, I believe God's a-voting for me, and the devil's a-voting against me. And whichever way I vote gets it. Praise God. You like to win an election this morning? Huh? You like to be elected by grace this morning? Well, vote for Jesus. Amen. Give your heart and life to Jesus. Praise God. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. That was very important to preach in that day. We can't hardly imagine how important it was. Because the biggest Bible-believing group, that is, a group that believed in the Old Testament, was the Jews and the Judaists and the Judaizers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers. They were all children of the law, if you will. They believed in being saved by works, period. That's why Jesus' ministry and preaching was so revolutionary to them. They just couldn't accept his doctrine. Amen. They wasn't ready to give up the old garment that they might have a new one. They wanted to patch up the old one. And Jesus said, we're not going to patch up the old one. You put a new patch on an old garment. Why, first thing you know, it'll tear where it's joined to the old, and the rent will be made worse. Amen. So we're not going to patch up the old garment. We're going to cast it aside completely and get a brand new garment. We're not going to fill the old bottle that was emptied out with new wine. We're going to fill a new bottle with new wine. So we're going to do away with the gospel of works altogether. Amen. and we're going to preach the gospel of grace. Now, you say grace, I say grace, but I don't say, as some teach, grace plus nothing. I believe in grace that works. Amen. Under the law, you worked and did the law of Moses to get saved. Under grace, you believe on Jesus Christ and work because you are saved. Amen. Under the law, you kept the Ten Commandments to get saved. Under grace, you give Christ your heart and keep the Ten Commandments plus because you are saved. Amen. I believe in grace that works. Do you? Amen. Well, praise God. It's not any good. Grace that don't work is a disgrace. Grace that presumes on God and uses the gospel of grace as an excuse of doing nothing is not grace at all. It's a disgrace. Amen. But that's in essence, in a nutshell, the doctrine of grace versus works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Amen. The rest were blinded. A few elected to follow Christ. Therefore, they became the children of the election. Amen. That's where Matthew 24 comes in. He said, he shall gather his elect from the four winds of heaven. There will still be a group of Jews that will trust God enough, believe Christ enough, even in the great tribulation, that when Jesus comes back again visibly and gloriously from heaven, he will gather his elect. That is, those who in the midst of the great tribulation elected finally and eventually to follow Christ and to accept him as the Messiah. He shall gather those elect from the four winds of heaven when he comes back. He won't fail to gather any of his jewels, his true Jews. Amen. He'll find them. Amen. He knows where they are right now. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. But the rest were blinded. That's the whole nation, for the most part, were blinded. And that's a terrible thing. You have a hard time getting through to anybody that is a Jew. They're still praying, but they're blinded. They're still going through the motions, but they're blinded. Every city in the world, you will find them going through the motions, but they're blind. Amen. But God has a destiny for them. According to his written, God's given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. And how that's so true this morning, as most of the people that claim to be the sons of Abraham. I say, then have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Amen. You ought to know why God pours out his blessing and his power upon us today as the church, and blesses America, who houses a great portion of those that cling to the old rugged cross and still embrace the fundamental truths of God's word. God is trying to provoke them to a holy emulation, praise God. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, notice that, the riches of the world, why are we doing so well? Because they fell. That's why we're doing so well. Amen. Not that they can't, but they won't. They wouldn't. Amen. They wouldn't do like the Bible said. They wouldn't accept Christ. They wouldn't teach their children and their children's children. They taught them against Christ. Still are. Amen. And we've been made rich with the riches of Christ. Amen. So their fall and their spiritual poverty, the diminishing of them has become the riches of the Gentiles. How much more their fullness, praise God. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He didn't magnify himself, he magnified his office. There's a difference. Amen. Men of God are very humble, but the office, true men of God are, but the office bears a need for a magnification. Should I magnify my office? Amen. If by any means I might provoke to emulation, there's that provocation again, holy emulation, them which are my flesh, that is the Jews, and might save some of them. God's still trying to save some of them. Amen. And one way he's doing it is blessing us the good and pouring out his Spirit on us and giving us such good and prosperous churches and moves of God and doing it over and over and over again to provoke them to see what they're missing by not serving Christ. Praise God. Amen. I might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You believe in the resurrection this morning? You believe God's able to resurrect a dead nation? You believe God's able to resurrect a dead Jewish nation? You believe God's able to resurrect a dead church? He has done it, hadn't he? Amen. You believe God's able to resurrect a dead preacher? Praise God. Amen. I mean, he can do it. He's a God of resurrection. Life from the dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Amen. And we owe a great debt to them. Amen. They gave us this Bible. The root was holy. Huh? Praise God. He did. They gave us the glorious gospel. Amen. And so, and if some of the branches be broken off, does God break off branches? Yes. If thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Amen. Who is the wild olive tree? Huh? Who are the wild ones? It's you and me, or me and you. Amen. And you, and you, and you. Every one of us have got a wild streak in us. Amen. The only reason we're not wild is because we've been grafted in. Amen. Say, well, she's got a wild streak in her, or he's got a wild streak in him. All of us do. Amen. Once in a while, it threatens to come out to more or lesser degree. Amen. Thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Remember what you've been grafted into. We are part and parcel of what they call, for what it's worth, the Judeo-Christian ethic. Amen. We are the sons of Abraham by adoption and by faith. Amen. As long as we do the works of Abraham. We quit doing the works of Abraham. Amen. We're a shame and a disgrace to the name of Abraham. When John the Baptist came along, they said, "We're the sons of Abraham." When Jesus came along, they said, "We be the sons of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to any man." Amen. John the Baptist said, "God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Amen. And Jesus voiced about the same thing. What was wrong with those physical sons of Abraham? Amen. They were a disgrace to Abraham because they didn't walk in his footsteps. Amen. Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day and was glad." Praise God. Ooh, we ought to be glad of the day that we're living in, the opportunities that we have. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, "The branches were broken off that I might be grafted." Well, in other words, that's true as far as it goes. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. Unbelief caused them to be broken off. What happens when you break off a branch? What happens when you cut a Christmas tree? Huh? Amen. Tree's dead, isn't it? You cut that Christmas tree. Amen. You cut something off, it dies. Me and my brother decided to mend the fence down at the old Ralph Waite's place, the only house we lived in around close there that had more than one bedroom. It was built barn style, but Mom papered it all with lots of thicknesses of paper. Amen. Now, what I mean by barn style, it didn't have studs. It was built with 2x4 cross members. Amen. Going horizontal. And in 1x12 boards nailed up and down with batten boards nailed over the cracks. Consequently, there wasn't no air space, not much insulation, and water froze in the kitchen, even though we had a fire in the stove in the living room. We was glad to live there, even though it was cold and uncomfortable. We had more than one bedroom. We had a barn for the cows. We was glad to live there, and me and my brother, we decided to mend the fence one day, and we cut down some post oak trees about yay big around, or white oak trees around before springtime, around springtime, and cut them in post lengths and sharpened them, drove them in the ground. And you know what? Those white oak posts blossomed out and had little leaves on them. Amen. They was dead and didn't know it. Amen. They put out leaves. It didn't last long because it didn't put out any roots with the leaves. They soon died away. They was coasting on the life they had from the root yesterday. There's a lot of Christians doing like that. They've been cut off. They're dead and don't know it. Amen. Springtime comes. They put out leaves. Revival come by. They'll shout right along with you. Amen. Move of God. Sunshine again. They'll shout right along with you. They're dead and don't know it. Amen. There's a lot of people in churches today that's cut off but still practicing religion, and on the outside it looks like they're okay, but on the inside they're dead. Amen. Now, anytime you see a saint of God come to church painted up like a Egyptian, amen, decked out like a gypsy, and looking like a cross between a hippie and a yuppie and a gypsy, amen, with ear bobbing one or both ears, men or women, amen, most generally it's because the tree's already been cut that they started having to decorate it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, don't we usually decorate the ones that's been cut? Amen. We don't even have to take decorations off a living tree. It'll blow off in the wind if you give it time, or it'll grow around it and enclose it. And the first thing you know, you won't even be able to see it for the leaves. Amen. It will do away with the cheap tinsel by just living. Amen. I hung some tubing I used to siphon gas out with for the lawnmower up between the forks of one of them trees out in front of the house up there, parsonage up there, and one of them's forked. That was several years ago I hung them up there, and I don't change things all that often. Amen. And now those forks have grew around those tubings that I used to siphon gas out of my vehicle for the lawnmower. Amen. And for other purposes, anybody wanted to get my gas, I even had them a siphon hose hanging in a tree there, real handy. Amen. Now you go up there and try to get those siphon hose out of that tree. That tree has grew around those siphoning hoses. Amen. And they're just sticking out a little on each side. And you know what? Pretty soon they're going to fall off to the ground, because that old plastic hardens in time. Amen. And freezing and hot, it'll fall off and the tree will look like nothing ever happened to it. Why? Life sheds off the world. Life in Christ Jesus sheds off those things that men insert. Amen. Those false things, those outside things, praise God. Amen. Well, praise God. I didn't intend to say all that, but we'll read on. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now, who do you think he's talking to? Who do you think he means when he says thee? Amen. Well. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on thee, which fell severity, Jews, but toward thee, us, goodness, if, say that with me this morning, if. Say it again. If. Say it real loud. If. Get your Strong's Concordance, one of the old ones that has those prepositions, all of them in it, and count the times it has the word if in it. Amen. The footnote here, the annotation in this Bible says, this is always the condition of eternal life. If God promises here to cut off those who do not remain in his goodness, then he is obligated to do it. Somebody said, once you get grafted in, you can't never get ungrafted. That's not what Romans 11 says. Amen. It says, if thou continue, in his goodness. I have a book by Guy Duty. I visited Guy Duty out in Virginia before he died. He had wrote, half a dozen good books, and was a teacher in one of the Eastern Assembly of God Bible schools, and wrote several good books. One of them was, If Ye Continue. Sister Savage took me to his house because I'd read a book or two, and I wanted to visit that old gentleman before he died. He was on what was to be his dying bed, and I'd read one of his books and told him that I read it. And when I told him, his eyes got real wide, and he said, "It took me 14 years to write that book." I was glad I got to see him before he died. I was glad I got to have prayer with him. Amen. And I ordered all of his books. And you know what? Every one of them were good. Good books. One of them was titled, "If Ye Continue." Praise God. And he put up the best argument for this conditional salvation and against the so-called once and grace, always grace, eternal security doctrine that you just about ever read. I liked it. I recommend it. "If thou continue in his goodness." Otherwise what? You don't continue if you don't continue. Otherwise, that is, if you don't continue, thou shalt be cut off. Cut off. How many know what it means to be cut off? Well, we know what it means when we cut limbs off a tree or off a grapevine. Amen. If we don't do something with them right quick, graft them in or something, why, they'll die. Don't they? They'll die. Well, as a 14-year-old boy, I was grafted in by faith. Between the age of 14 and 15, I embraced the world again, and while trying to embrace Christ, I went back to the world and was cut off. I told my whole family that I was cut off. I knew I was cut off. I cried out to God because of it. Amen. The Spirit of God departed from me. I knew the Spirit of God departed from me. And I sought God days and weeks and months. I cried out to God while there was still life in my cut off limb. Amen. And this morning, my fragile existence as a Christian bears the scars of being cut off and grafted in again. Amen. God can do it, and I am a living testimony that God can graft in again those that will call on Him. But I had to mean business. I had to mean business with God. And I had to know that I meant business with God in my own heart. And God had to know that I meant business with God. So I had to do radical things. I had to give up the world completely. Amen. There's one thing about it. When you graft something in, you trim it down to nothing and graft the bud mostly. Or a very short stem, because the graft won't stand the weight of that heavy growth. Amen. So I had to trim everything out of my life. Amen. And I'm here today because I'm a product of a fragile graft. Not because God don't have power, but because of the weakness of my flesh. Amen. I bear that scar this morning of being grafted in again. My whole life in ministry has been a warning against Christians going back to the world. Amen. I'm going to tell you that if you choose to go back to the world, God will let you go. Now let that soak in. And let me repeat it. If you choose to go back to the world, God will let you go. And there ain't enough preachers behind the pulpit. Enough Sunday school teachers in Sunday school. Enough men of God fasting and praying to keep you from being cut off. If you choose the world. Amen. instead of Christ. Let me go a little farther. If you choose the world and Christ, you'll be cut off, because Christ won't play second fiddle to the world. You may get by a little while, and because some are getting by, others think it's okay, but it's not. It's not. Romans 11th chapter teaches us that we have such a fragile existence, amen, that it hinges on one little two-letter word, if. If ye continue in His goodness. I'll tell you what, you got to want to if you serve God. You got to want to if you live for Christ. You got to want to if you pray against the flesh. You got to want to if you resist the devil. You first got to recognize the devil. And if the preacher gets up and preaches a gospel that helps you recognize the devil and you reject it, you're signing your own death warrant. Everybody that rejected God's prophets in the Old Testament, if they didn't get a hold of themselves, were cut off. They might have killed a prophet. And did you know that most of them were killed right in Jerusalem? Most of them were stoned right in Jerusalem. Jeremiah's tomb's there on Scopus. Zechariah's tomb's at the foot of Scopus. Amen. It was there they saw Isaiah happen too. Who did it? Religious people did. Amen. Right in Jerusalem. What's the weakness of church life today? It's just like it was in Israel. They think if they can get rid of the prophet, then they won't have to do all that stuff. If they can get rid of the prophet, it will lighten their load and help them save face. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you this morning, amen, they can't nobody save your face but Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if, there it is again, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Amen. Oh, boy, he's about to unveil something here. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. And here's the mystery unveiled. The wraps are pulled off. The cover is taken off. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Amen. We got a little while to enjoy these riches. We got a little while to provoke them to emulation. We got a few days of probation. This is our hour. This is our time. And we will never have another one. This is it. This is it. Amen. Amen. There's a whole bunch dead that rejected my little old holiness message when I came to Highway of Holiness. There's a bunch more dying. But let me tell you something. They were dead when they made up their mind
to reject it. God cut them off. Because you see, I'm not preaching myself. I'm not preaching my own ideas. I'm not preaching something that I've concocted. Amen. I bear the scars, the marks on my soul of being dealt with by the Lord. And I know that you can't do wrong and get by. You can't bring sin into the church and license it and get by. You can't bring the world into the church and try to help them peacefully coexist with old-time religion and the power of God. Amen. You'll find yourself in the same shape most of them are, going through the motions because they've learned how to put it on. Amen. I'd rather be real and honest, bless your heart, and not have so much, amen, than to be a farce and a hypocrite professing everything. Come on. Praise God. How many like to have the love of God? How many like to have the power of God? Amen. Hey, I'll tell you, there's a difference in loving God and loving the world. They don't go together. They don't peacefully coexist. Amen. It'll get you cut off. It did me. What did loving the world? I tried it. I tried to do the same things they're doing. I said the same things they're saying. I went to the same places they're going. I embraced the same things that they're embracing. You don't believe that? Amen. Boy, you will. Amen. It may be too late. I'll tell you, it was almost too late for me, who at the age of 15 was cut off and spent all summer when I was 16 trying to get back to God and feel the presence of God one more time. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke the family up, praise God, praise and glorifying God. I felt one tiny spark of faith, and I grabbed a hold of it like a drowning man will grasp a straw. Amen. My mama said, "Junior, what's the matter?" I said, "I feel like the Lord has took me back." And I didn't care if I woke him up.
Praise God.
I didn't care. I was so glad to have Jesus in my heart again. Amen. I know about this cutting off. I know what it feels like to go to church when they read about King Saul cut off. Amen. Separated from God. And I thought they're talking about me. That's me. Amen. Even while I was praying, crying, seeking God. Oh, I give up everything. I give up the whole world. Everything that smacked of the world, I gave it up. Amen. I spent my days and nights in prayer, my private moments, hitchhiking to church, doing the chores, crying out to God when I felt that tiny spark of faith. Amen. Jesus had grafted me back in again. But when he did, there wasn't nothing left. Amen. Just a tiny bud. Amen. No limbs on the tree. Everything had been cut off. Amen. Just a tiny bud was all that was left. Praise God. But he put his grafting wax around it, sealed it with his spirit. Amen. Spoke to it with words of comfort. Amen. Praise God. And I began to grow in the Lord. But you know what? You know how I begin to grow? I begin to grow when I gave up my place on the ball team. I begin to grow when I quit going to the theater. I begin to grow when I quit going to the pool hall and the skating rink. I begin to grow when I quit reading my comic books. Amen. And the junk that I was reading. I begin to grow when I quit running with the wrong crowd. I begin to grow when I quit smoking a cigarette once in a while if I took a notion. I begin to grow when I quit going swimming, amen, with the worldly bunch. Instead of going to the house of God, amen.
There was nothing left for me to do but to go to church. Amen. I began to grow. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God called me to preach. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I went to church all the time. And I don't mind telling you that my whole life yet today is to go to church and to serve God and live for God. Amen. Because I know what it means to be cut off. I know how it feels to be separated from God. Let's raise your hand and praise the Lord for His blessing. Praise God. That God has grafted us in. Amen. And if we'll serve Him, He'll keep us. If we'll live for Him, He'll help us. Praise God. If we'll live for His glory, He'll give us His power. Thank you, Jesus. If we'll believe God, He'll reward our faith. Praise Him this morning. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for a good offering for Brother Corn. Sing, Sister Bessie. Praise God.
I know that modern religion says live any way that you choose, but that kind of religion the Lord will surely refuse. If it used to be sin, it's still sin today. You need a brand new experience, the old time way. I got a brand new experience, the old time way. All my dark sin-filled nights, they're all sunshiny days. Except for my new experience, I got the old time way. I got a brand new experience, the old time way. All my dark sin-filled nights, they're all sunshiny days. Except for my new experience, I got the old time way. I don't hang with the same crowd that I did while in sin. No, I don't talk the same talk since Jesus came in. It's a way He told me while I was still on His knee. I found out for myself when the Holy Ghost found me. I got a brand new experience, the old time way. All my dark sin-filled nights, they're all sunshiny days. I'm still the same person in much the same way. Except for my new experience, I got the old time way. I don't hang with the same crowd that I did while in sin. No, I don't talk the same talk since Jesus came in. It's the way Daddy told me while I was still on His knee. I found out for myself when the Holy Ghost found me. I got a brand new experience. my dark sin-filled nights. They're all such shiny days. I'm still the same person and much the same way, except for my new experience. I got the old time way.
Testify. I got something wonderful to tell y'all. I tell you what, the Lord has been so good to me. If I felt any better, I don't know what I'd do. I'm telling you, He has done a miracle for me. And last Sunday night, you all know, the Sunday night before Thanksgiving, when the devil attacked me with my heart, there's no way that I could have run around this church. And Sunday night, when the Lord bid me to do that, I felt like I could have flew out of here. And somebody come to me, a sister I got confidence in. She came to me Sunday night, and she told me that the Lord had told her, when I come off that piano, that my husband was going to be saved. She said, I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to be. And she said, when I come off the piano and run around this church, she said, the Lord reminded her of that. And I'm so thankful. I am so excited in the Lord. The Lord's been so good to me. I praise Him.
Give the Lord the glory. Hallelujah.
I got a brand new experience. The old time way. All my dark and pale nights, they're all such shiny days. I'm still the same person. My new experience, I got the old time way. I know that modern religion says live any way that you choose, but that kind of religion the Lord will surely refuse. If it used to be sin, sin today. You need a brand new experience, the old time way. my darkness, it fell nigh.